Okay, this is Chairman Nathan Wakefield calling the meeting to order at 6:37 p.m. Eastern Time. And now we move to a roll call. Nathan Wakefield, present. Mike Sullivan.
Present.
Martin Frost. Mr. Frost appears to be absent. Warren Hammond.
Oh, where's Warren?
Yeah, good question. I have not heard anything from him. Warren is absent. Noel Yee.
Present.
Noel Yee is present. Kyle Johnson. Kyle Johnson is absent. Veronique is absent. She messaged me earlier today. She could not make it. Aaron Stevens?
Present.
Aaron is present. Louis Saradek?
Present.
Louis is present. Lucho Fernandez? Lucho is absent. And Jared Davis?
Aye.
Jared is present. Okay, moving on to approval of the agenda. Would someone like to make the motion to approve this agenda?
This is Louis. I will make a motion to approve that agenda.
Louis has made the motion. Can we get a second, please?
This is Noel. I'll second the motion to approve the agenda.
Thank you, Noel. Do we have any discussion? Okay, we do not have any discussion. Moving to a vote, does anybody oppose the agenda? And do we have any abstentions? Agenda is approved. Okay. Yay. Moving forward with the approval of minutes, would someone like to make the motion to approve the minutes from September 23rd, 2014?
This is Louis. I will make that motion.
Thank you, Louis. Do we have a second? Do we have a second?
This is Jared. I second.
Thank you, Jared. Is there any discussion on these minutes? This being the case, we move to a vote. Does anybody oppose these minutes, the approval of these minutes? Are there any abstentions? Minutes are approved. Great. Okay, now we're going to move on to reports. First of all, we're going to start with the post-IJA Festival Reports 2014. Did everybody get a chance to read both of these reports, or at least kind of look over them?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Could you do me a favor and just in the discussion, Jared put that these were authored by Cody Furick. Cody was kind enough to send me this festival report last night after posting the financials. He's unfortunately very busy with gigs, and he's unable to make any of our board meetings for the next few months. So this is his wrap-up report, and he sent this out. So this is his official final word. Looks like we did, from my vantage point, significantly better than we initially anticipated. So that's good news, at least in terms of financial gain. But there was obviously the turmoil of, like Mr. Furick points out, dealing with some of the university and their back and forth policies and poor communication. But as a whole, things look pretty good. Would anyone else like to add anything?
Have we gotten a report from our bookkeeper?
From our bookkeeper?
It's nearly
P&L statement.
P&L statement?
Usually we get a profits and loss. Usually, I know last year they needed the final financial report from Kim in order to do the final financial reports on their end.
Okay.
But
I haven't heard anything from Dennis about that. But
okay.
Notes.
A week from Monday, the festival ended on Sunday morning. A week from the following Monday, I turned in absolutely everything that I had from pre-registration, on-site, cash, credit cards, refunds, registration, everything that passed through the registration desk.
Uh-huh.
That was on about August 10th.
You'd also need
October, and we haven't seen one word from our bookkeeper about how our only event of the year has done.
It'd be good to know. Last year we didn't get anything from Holly till well after January 1st because of last minute things and not getting final receipts and everything from Kim. So it'd be good to just make sure that, number one, he's aware of this. This is his first year. So, number one, he knows that he needs to get all these things in. And number two, that he has everything he needs to do so. To just check about that.
Yeah, I will make a point to speak with him directly regarding this and try to get that as soon as possible.
Well,
and that's what needs to be voted on and then put onto the website and everything for a profit and loss statement.
Okay.
I mean, we had flash numbers from Holly less than a month after the festival ended, and the final numbers weren't greatly different from those for the two festivals I ran in 2009 and 2011. So I'm
right.
Just wondering why we don't even have a flash number yet.
Again, it's his first year, so I'm not sure if he's fully aware, been fully made aware of what's required and what's expected. So that would be a good thing to talk to him about.
Yeah, I'll make a point to really emphasize that, and hopefully we can get that issued as soon as possible and vote on that at the next meeting. Is there any further discussion on these reports?
I'm glad we made a profit. Also, I just want to say that 664 attendees, that's like over 200 more than the previous year. So that's pretty exciting.
That's crazy. I know initial forecasts were actually placed lower than the previous year, so that's incredible.
Exactly, because pre-reg stuff was lower than usual. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Very good.
Yeah, I also would just have to say that I'm glad that Pyrus is the guy he is. It was a particularly difficult festival running year for certain aspects of it, and I think that just with this budget is pretty transparent, and any reconciliation by a bookkeeper seems pretty easy. And
yeah.
Happy about it, so.
Yeah, he was amazing to work with, too. So any way that we can send something, it would be cool to send some kind of just thank you letter. I know he sent a bunch more thank you letters up afterwards, but some kind of thank you, something to him would be ideal as well.
Great.
You did a good job.
Indeed, indeed. Okay. Moving on to the 2015 IJA Festival Reports. There's actually two reports here. One of them is the raw report itself. The other one is kind of more of like a spreadsheet that Vero sent out to me. That's where she's kind of plugging in the organizers for the different activities. So, okay. Is there any discussion on these reports? We do have one special guest confirmed. That is, I'm probably going to butcher his last name, Tony Freiborg. He's a Diabloist. He was involved with the Planet Diablo video, and he was also been with Cirque du Soleil. So we have one confirmed special guest so far, so that's good news.
Is there an awards committee person? There is Emily Carlin.
It should be noted that Vera also sent me an email that she was able to get a hold of a few other people. If there's curiosity, I could kind of read that off now.
Regarding
a few new names she was able to add to the spreadsheet.
I'm getting a big white box over my spreadsheet. I don't know what's going on.
I just got that too, and then it went away when I reopened it.
Yeah, but then it goes back on.
And then it comes again. Yeah.
I can't really look at it for very long, guys.
All right, hold on here. Let me see if I can eliminate that.
Weird. The one thing I noticed while you're trying to fix that, Nathan, is one position that we should probably try to fill really quick to talk to Vero about is the awards committee person. Jack Kelly took that on last year. He has some kind of health issues going on this year, so I don't think he'll be wanting to lead it up again. Alan Howard kind of took over and might be able to or might be willing to take that position on this year. But basically, what we dealt with last year was by the time the awards committee had their people to nominate, we already had all of our special guests lined up, so we didn't have finances or budget to fly anyone in from the awards people, which is why we made the videos and such. So that would be one that I would just really encourage to get the ball rolling on as soon as possible.
Okay. I'll make a point on that. Is the obstructing box gone at this point?
Yes.
Great.
Let's see.
For me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm just going to read off here an update that Vero sent me just a few hours ago. She said the Turbo Board has also approved, again, I apologize for mispronouncing these, Gailey Kathenyu. We also have the Checkerboard Guy has been approved by Turbo to MC the Cascade of Stars. So we have, I've seen him before, He's a very good MC. He's been around juggling for quite a while. He's very funny. So I
Does he work Pearl Street up in Colorado or something?
I'm not sure where he's based out of. I saw him MC at a convention in Washington State, and it was pretty solid. I know he has a website and stuff, so he's out there promoting himself, and he gets around a lot. But he's very tops from what I've seen. And she says that the Turbo Board has also approved Machine de Cirque as Turbo 418's gift to the festival and Greg Kennedy's new show. So,
yeah.
So it looks like those are probably going to be good to go.
Machine de Cirque?
Yep. I'm not familiar with that.
A performance thing? Okay. Cool.
So that's good news. Any other discussion? Okay.
I feel like Machine de Cirque is the towel guy. Sorry.
Oh, the towel what? Guy.
Towel guy.
Are those guys that they manipulate the towel and obstruct their nudity?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, I've seen that video. That is an interesting choice, but very funny.
Machine de Cirque. I'm liking it on Facebook.
Why not? Why not?
Sounds awesome.
Okay. Anything else? Great.
Oh, wait. One more thing.
Sure. Yeah.
About that. I'm looking at the festival organizing team. It's cool to see Warren's name in there. I guess I'm going to try to do something. I think it would be a good thing for as much as us normal IJA people to try to jump in on something.
I fully agree.
And I'm going to send a message today for, like, workshop coordinator or something. I don't speak French, but we'll see what happens. And, yeah, I think that could be a cool thing that we can do to help unite this event with us, is some of us can participate who are just deciding on going and doing, yeah, stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
That's it.
I agree, Noel, and I really appreciate you stepping up like that. That's a very beneficial thing, I feel.
It'd also be good because Kyle's the marketing director for the IJA, that's why he was pretty much the marketing director for the festival last year, too. And he did most of the marketing leading up till about April when his computer had issues. But that would just be a good thing since he's doing all the Facebook marketing. I noticed last year it was really helpful to have that kind of correlated with the IJA page, the regular page and the event page and stuff, and kind of thing with that as opposed to like somebody else trying to do the event page but not doing the IJA page because then it starts conflicting. So anyway, Kyle's able to step into that position would be awesome too.
I also see a role for Mike here. I'm highlighting C27. I know Mike's
evening show printed program writer editor producer. Mike knows what he's doing there.
Anyway, go on. Sorry, guys. I'm slow down. Go ahead.
Sure. I guess one more thing I wanted to, on this note, since we have a special guest confirmed, that being Tony, did we want to announce this as soon as possible or kind of wait maybe another month or two until the fest is further along before announcing special guests publicly? What are the thoughts on that?
I feel like it has to be a coordinated marketing attempt.
Like
whatever happens when we talk about it, we don't want to like step on any toes of Battle her crew. So like,
right?
Yeah. I would run that by.
Currently, where it's at is that Vero's kind of in charge of the Facebook event page, and like she wrote a bunch of us today, who are also on the Facebook event page. Whatever admin team saying that she's putting out another promo video all in French and stuff. But so she's been doing occasional updates. But yeah, I think coordinating whoever is going to be in charge of marketing, essentially that's kind of in her court right now. Whoever the marketing person is should be the one announcing that. And she should be kind of directing when that should happen and everything. But yeah, I definitely think she should spearhead when those things get released and everything.
Okay, it would probably be a coordinated effort between her and Kyle, I'm assuming, then. Does that make sense?
That would make sense to me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same here, I think.
I just looked up Machine Day Cirque. That's the photo that got, like, a bazillion likes on Facebook recently that Kyle posted. And they're going to be at the IJA. That's awesome.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Great. Anything else? Going once. Going twice. Wait for it. Wait for it. Moving on to future festival planning with Mike Sullivan. Mike?
Hi, not much to report. Still trying to chase down leads. Don't have any hot leads for 2017. Following up with lots of people, trying to get them to turn in proposals and trying to shake something loose in the next couple months so we have a good prospect for 2017. I did receive a good proposal from Lexington, where we were in 2008. Price
Lexington,
of course, because it would be 9 years after we came there in 2008. But the facilities were great. The Opera House was fabulous. The hotel is a beautiful hotel. Everything is connected. It would be a very good site. Price is a little higher than we'd like, especially for the hotel room. But they're, you know, in contention, not a super hot prospect right now. I'm still working. So not much more to add right now.
Great. Have you heard any alternative gym options for the Michigan proposal?
No, I think Kalamazoo has fallen off the radar. I sent her looking for some place that we could juggle that would be air-conditioned and really haven't heard back from her since, so I think it's out.
Makes sense. Okay. Any more discussion? Very well. Moving on to YJA, Ellen Winters was kind enough to send me this report. Fairly straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like things are going really well with the buttons that one of our awesome board members was kind enough to design.
Thank you. It's neat they're being sent out to other countries. That's great.
Yeah, you're getting some international exposure there, Louis.
Yeah.
Cool. Are there any discussion on the YJA? All right, a lot of good things happening there. Moving on to marketing. I have not spoken with Kyle since the last meeting, but from my vantage point, things are going pretty well with Facebook at least. Is there any discussion there? I guess the one thing I kind of wanted to touch upon is I think we're poised to in the next few weeks or months, whatever, just to kind of start planning strategically for our 2015 Tricks of the Month videos. I just kind of want to briefly touch on as far as the best way to go about doing that. I've noticed this year they've been doing kind of well, but our model has kind of gone out the window in that we originally had like Chile, Mexico, Flow in USA, and now we're doing like Germany and Japan, and that's awesome. But I was just curious as to if there should be a formal structure or what the regimented plan was or what people's thoughts were on that.
I think I had written you a bit about this too, Nathan, just talking, mainly I've kind of organized Tricks of the Month every year so far. Jorge Vilchi's kind of, because Chile fell out of the picture, the Flow ones that weren't happening as much, Jorge Vilchi's was like, hey, I've got people writing me saying that they're interested in doing these. And I was like, sure, let's fill some spots. So, but then they got all conjumbled time-wise. The idea for next year at this point is Jorge is going to be the main collaborator, main director of the Tricks of the Month videos, rather than myself. And our idea at this point was to have two videos per month rather than four, which I think four is a bit overkill. And it would be on an international scale rather than a specific countries. It would just be from all over and different disciplines and things like that. But two per month, so like first week and third week or something every month. But would be down to hear what other people think of that.
I think that's a great idea. I mean, the issue we've noticed now is even if we're getting a consistent amount, if they get submitted a few days late, then they'll get posted a few days late, and pretty soon there's really no continuity in terms of release schedule. But
that's my problem.
This month. That happened this month specifically with, like, he had posted it apparently to eJuggle but wasn't ready for them to be released yet, and then they were released in September when they said October and things like that. So there was just some confusion.
Well, I would I've had a lot of confusion because I uploaded a video for August in August and then was told it was the wrong account. And then I had to re-upload like a gigantic file, and then even logging into posts on eJuggle is like, now it's October and the August video hasn't even gone out and it's on the website, on the YouTube. I just feel like some of the processes involved are a little not straightforward.
Totally. Okay. Yeah. And so I guess partially that having just one person kind of in charge who's able to communicate. The hard thing with Jorge is he speaks some English, but him and Scott kind of use me as a mediator as far as translation goes and everything. But yeah, I saw that video, Noel. I never ended up seeing the eJuggle post about it, so I wasn't sure what happened there.
One of those things. YouTube did this to my personal account too, where like because I wasn't using my real name, they created a duplicate account, and now I have to toggle between those. And I think that happened with the IJA because I fell into that same trap Noel did, where I went to view videos and we didn't have any content, and I freaked out. Then realized that it had toggled me to a different account within our account. So then I had to log into our old account through our regular account portal, and it was just totally confusing to me. So that's
IJA has like two different accounts or three different accounts now or something like that.
It's crazy, but yeah, basically.
And how that happened or whatever, but
YouTube does them automatically. It's weird. I don't know why, but it's not something that we created or gave authorization to. It's very strange. Oh, and just a quick side note, Ashley Ellis will not be doing a Tricks of the Month video this month. She messaged me, and she's too preoccupied with life things. So that's unfortunate, but, you know, maybe next year.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, I think you know, each year has kind of been an experiment. It's changed each year, the format. This year was definitely the largest scale that we went for. And,
yeah, totally.
And also the most effective year we've had yet, and it's definitely been a program that's built upon itself, which is awesome. But I do like the idea of one person being in charge, because that means, like, I don't have to be the pinpoint person for all four different people. It's like he's kind of in charge and takes care of the timing of everything and making sure that we have the posts and all that. And then anyone who has ideas for who could be potential contributors could direct them to him and everything, which would be cool. But
I think that's a good idea. So one just thing I would like to clarify. So the two a month videos, there would be no kind of ongoing theme. It would just be whomever featured this week and 2 weeks later another person featured, regardless of any sort of, I guess, thematic reoccurring month-to-month thing. Is that correct?
That's my thought. Just kind of people that are killing it right now in the juggling flow, whatever scenes, and trying to diversify. I talked to him about that, too, just making sure it stays diverse, because that was one of the big intentions of having the flow video section, was to just diversify the content more.
I'm all for streamlining it. I think that makes sense.
Yeah, so, like, for example, in early October when two videos got posted that were, or in September, I guess, that were supposed to be October videos, there was, like, three club manipulation videos, like, all in a row, and so I talked to him about, you know, trying to really diversify it where it doesn't get kind of stagnant in the type of video and things like that, and maintaining high quality and all.
Excellent. Well, this is something we can discuss further by email if anyone has any thoughts on this, but any further thoughts on that. But is there any more discussion about marketing right now?
My only thing is that I haven't heard a lot from Kyle, and I would like to get Kyle a little more engaged here, if possible, somehow, with marketing. He's been back on it a little bit to kind of ride the momentum of Kyle's marketing potential.
I think that's a good idea. I can reach out to him and kind of see how he's doing. Do you see him in person regularly, Noel?
Strangely enough, yes. He was living in my room for the beginning of the month.
Whoa. Okay.
But I asked him, but he seems significantly concerned about other things like work and trying to get his other things together. So I hadn't really bothered him too much about IJA. So,
okay.
Yeah, be my bad.
Have you been to recent meetings and stuff? Or not so much?
No.
Okay. Yeah, last time I talked to him, like, basically he had sent out that letter just to be the marketer, and I was like, hey, does that mean you're taking over Facebook again? Because I could sure let you take that on again. And so he took it over. I'm not involved at all in it anymore, and he's been doing that stuff regularly. But like we talked about, Nathan, I think having that marketing person really be in charge of the overall marketing, like, that person should also be the one posting to any forums that we're posting on and doing
or
festival marketing and things like that would be ideal. So trying to chat with him about that. And I know that was one issue that did come up last year, is kind of like when life took over, he kind of just checked out from IJ stuff, and that doesn't fully work on the marketing side of things. So just making sure that he's willing to really dedicate.
Yeah, at the very least, I'd like to be kept in the loop in terms of communication when he is and isn't going to be around and what is
right.
To clarify his role. So, okay, I'll touch base.
I also told him I'm always willing to, like, be the backup person for Facebook if he's traveling or if he's doing whatever. Like, I can step in and help out or whatever,
right,
as needed. But yeah, as long as he's doing it most of the time and doesn't just check out for 3 months, then that's cool.
Okay. All right, well, if you're so inclined, Noel, if you want to talk to him, that's fine. But if it's not the right forum or situation, that's understandable too. But okay, is there any other discussion on marketing? I think that's the most we've talked about marketing in a long time. Oh. Okay, moving on to IRC. Aaron Stevens, what do you got?
Cool, yeah. I didn't know the meeting was today exactly until this morning, so I didn't do a report. But basically, where we're at is I've been talking to the guys from South America and Central America who are super interested in doing IRCs this year. The guy in Peru was waiting for, apparently, governmental things needed to be finished, elections and such, before he could approach their government about funding and location venues for their festival. So elections are done, so he's moving on with that and asked me to write a letter from the IJA requesting assistance and support and everything for the event. So I was planning to do that this week. Costa Rica, the guy is super motivated, really excited about a potential Central American IRC. He's doing lots of work on finding financial support as well, but already has that festival in action. It would actually be on World Juggling Day, which would be kind of cool, the first Central American IRC. And then our donor, UNAMED, is still definitely willing to support the IRC coordinator thing, sending the person down to organize the events or help organize the events. And then the other question, the other question she is posing is, like, they really thought that bringing the winner of the IRC from Mexico, Nino, to the festival was super awesome and beneficial, and thinks that that's something that we should try to focus on continuing. We had cut that in the past because of the idea of growing the program. It becomes a big financial requirement, and we just weren't getting donations or whatever of frequent flyer miles or finances to make that possible for increasing the program or, like, spreading it out. So they suggested doing a social, what's it called? Something like
Kickstarter or something.
Kickstarter, Indiegogo, to raise money to bring in the winners of the IRCs, and recently rewrote me about that because I hadn't responded as I was traveling, and I said I would bring it up to the board and just see what people thought about that. I know the board talked about doing some kind of social fundraising campaign and never had a direct target project for that to go towards, and so I'd be interested in hearing if people think that that's something that would be a good target thing to try our first social fundraising campaign. Basically, her thought is that there's lots of people in the IJ with money, and they're probably willing to give it more than we're asking for it, and we haven't done a big fundraiser in a long time, and we should probably try to just put it out there and see if people are willing.
How much money do you think something like that would be? Would it be like $1,500 to fly something?
It would depend on. Yeah, I mean, essentially, it depends on where they're coming from. Like for Mexico, you know, it's $500 to $600 for a flight, mm-hmm. plus the cost of hotel, and plus the cost of the IJ festival, depending on if the festival is willing to comp the package for that person or not.
Yeah. So maybe 25.
But from Peru, it's about 1,200. You know, so it depends where they're coming from.
Yeah.
And how many we do? Like this year, we're planning to do 3: South American, Central American, and Mexico.
Yeah.
Whereas this last year we only did 1. So yeah, I mean $5,000 ish.
Yeah, and I wonder if it would be like better to break it up into 3 different places so people could regionally be like, oh, I have connections to that region. And donate to that, or if people would feel bad, like, oh, Central America didn't get any donations.
Right.
Yeah. Just what sort of number is a good number? Because some of those things, they kick back the money if it doesn't go through. Like, what is a reasonable number we can go for that hopefully our people will donate for?
Where we could actually reach it. And also researching the different options. Like Indiegogo, for example, you get whatever you raise, whereas Kickstarter, you only get it if you raise enough.
Yeah.
But there's different pluses and minuses to each. The thing I did say to UNAMED is that basically my main time commitments right now to the IJ are going to be the IRCs and World Juggling Day, as well as the e-juggle articles and stuff. But I don't know that I would have time to organize that fundraising campaign. So seeing if somebody on the board or somebody else might be interested in doing that if we did do it. But it would take just kind of researching what the expenses would be. Yeah, and kind of like I think the way she worded it was just like to fly in international performers, which is kind of an interesting concept, but I think it should be more specifically directed at flying in IRC winners. If we're going
to... Yeah, actually having something you win is fun and important in a way. Like being able to win a trip to the IJA conventions is cool. I think that's a good motivation for people.
It makes it huge. And it's a big motivation. And like what I think I saw, because this was the first year where it actually worked out that Nino was able to come. Every other year something's happened. And I think it was hugely beneficial. Like I heard so many people, you know, being like, oh my God, I love Nino so much. He added so much to this festival, both his performance. Like it brings in that international flavor that we might not get otherwise, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, the other thing happening was like every picture posted to my page, or to the IJA page, or anything of Nino was like getting a million likes per picture because everyone in Mexico was like, oh my God, Nino's in the FIJA. Oh my God, oh my God.
Yeah.
So it just really helps the international community as a whole, you know, like it helps build bridges and be like, oh, it's possible, like, for these worlds to unite in a stronger way and stuff. So anyhow, I thought it was a good success having him come. So, yeah. And it motivates the performers more, or competitors. Because right now for this year for the Mexico one, the basic prize was I think you got 3,000 pesos or something, as well as the medal. But it's still, you know, that's cool, but it's just not as big as, like, going to the IJA festival.
Great. Sounds like there's a lot of good stuff going on there.
Right, yeah. So I guess that could be a further discussion down the road, too, seeing if that's a direction the board thinks would be good to go, is doing a social campaign or not.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of pros and cons to it, depending on how it was approached, but it's definitely something that would require a very, not just coordinated effort, but a lot of pre-planning. So I think that's kind of a discussion in and of itself, but definitely something to think about looking at. Okay. Any further discussion on IRC? All right. Moving on to membership report. You can view the numbers by clicking on that link there. Is there any discussion? Okay. Pretty straightforward. Moving on to financial reports. We do not have a treasurer, so unfortunately we do not have any numbers. Regarding discussion, the only thing I would like to mention is I believe there was consensus at our last vision planning meeting that we are going to place in the newsletter a article looking for a treasurer, and hopefully we can get a bite through there, because we did receive one bite through Facebook, and ultimately it was decided it was not a lead we were interested in pursuing at this point. So we will try the newsletter and go from there. Is there any further discussion?
I think one thing to look at too, as far as not having a treasurer currently, is seeing, I mean, we're paying Dennis a good chunk of money. Is checking in with him and basically saying if he can still, I mean, the treasurer the last couple of years has not done much
here. Right.
So seeing if he can still what a treasurer should be doing based on, you know, what he's getting paid and everything. So he should be able to provide reports and attend meetings as long as he's made aware of them. And actually that was something we asked him during the interview process, is if he's willing to attend the monthly meetings and do financial reportings, and he said yes. So I think he can fill those roles. And that was kind of based on the fact that the IJA has been lacking in treasurer, qualified treasurer for the last couple of years. So having him fill that role.
I'm in agreement. I can reach out to him about that. I guess my biggest concern at this point is dealing with that sort of occurrence at the festival, because I don't know if it would be reasonable to request a bookkeeper to fly out to our festivals and how we...
Right, right. I guess I'm more meaning like to provide a financial report until we do have a...
I'm sorry. I kind of got sidetracked into a whole different discussion. But yes, for reports, that's something I think is reasonable.
And also, I mean, essentially the bookkeeper in the past was guaranteed a free festival pass, or bookkeeper was guaranteed a free festival pass to come and do the financials at the festival. That was part of the contract. And I don't know that we included that this time, but that's just something to look into too, is like, you know, having the treasurer attend the festival, or the bookkeeper, sorry, and fill that role as needed.
Okay. Well, that's something to keep in mind. I'll be in touch with Dennis regarding these issues. Is there any further discussion?
I do have just one other question. Has Scott been communicated with at all regarding...
Oddly enough, I did receive an email from him today.
I saw that too.
That was the only communication I've had with anyone affiliated with the IJA, to my knowledge, in several months. So I'm hoping he did apologize for his lack of communication. So I'm hoping at the very least to be able to touch base with Dennis and they'll be able to work out the checking situation and a few other things. So.
Okay, because I think the main concern I have right now is that nobody has access to our bank account except for him, as far as I know.
Yeah.
That needs to change as soon as possible and get Dennis financial access.
Okay.
Like, he has the only debit cards. He has the only password to communicate with them. His name's on it. Mine's not, because I requested that several times and it never happened. So, yeah, just something.
Right.
I think you and the festival director and our new bookkeeper should all be on, have debit cards and have access to communication with our bank account.
I concur, and I'll mention that, and hopefully he'll respond. Okay, any further discussion? This being the case, we will move on to the AMS report with Mr. Sullivan.
Okay, well, November 3rd, about 2 weeks from Monday, we start training. Training will be done over the internet, Marilyn and I, initially. We'll see how it goes. They're going to give us a plan of what we'll be doing in what order and what the scope will be. And as soon as we know more, we'll rope in the other folks who have offered to help out. Initially, the work will be to choose a basic template and start loading in our membership database, and I believe that'll be the first thing we'll want to get up and running, and we'll take it from there. So don't have a lot more to report, but November 3rd is coming right up, and that's when we start.
Sounds good. Now, do you get the impression that it's really not feasible at this point to say when there will be a noticeable change in the back end and front end publicly? Is that something you need to wait until after the training
is
complete?
No, we're nowhere near being able to make any announcements about that. But
right.
My guess is by the end of the year, we will have our key back end functions on their feet, and we'll begin to start building out the public-facing site soon after that. And I would think by early spring, in time to do festival promotion for next year's festival, we will have most of the public-facing site ready to go for festival promotion purposes.
Excellent. Are there any questions for Mike?
I had a question. Has anyone talked to Vero about her plans for registration?
Yes. I spoke with her about that, actually. I meant to report this. Basically, what she said was she wants to have, let's see if I can pull up my notes here, actually. Here we go. Basically, her idea is for the payment system is she wants, in her view, that registration should be done on our end in terms of the online stuff. So that's kind of Turbo's expectation right now, is we will handle the pre-registration.
I think that's an awful idea. I think the people that are organizing the festival should be taking registrations, especially with all these cross-border problems we're going to have, currencies, language, et cetera. So I would push back on that. I'm certainly not going to do it this year. So if they want us to do it, someone else will have to come forward.
Okay, that's something.
Did you use a system?
Yes.
You set up all the registration in? Could you forward that to them or help them set that up or something?
Well, we used a system called EventSpot from Constant Contact. It worked okay. It had issues. It wasn't perfect. There might be other systems out there.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to choose the best one. None of them are ideal for the very quirky, way too many moving parts type of festival that we have.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a ferocious amount of work.
Yeah.
so I don't want to do it this coming year for a a cross-border bilingual festival. That's one of the things I had a lot of concerns about when choosing Canada, French Canada, for a festival site. And, I'd be happy to give Vero any advice, but I think the registration system and all pre-fest and on-site operations need to be managed by Turbo. There'll just be too many things falling between cracks, too many missed communications if we try and do it from a country away in a different language.
Yeah, I could see that pre-registration, like having a whole pile of information and data that all of a sudden we have to give to them or something, and then they pour that into their system. Like it would be kind of a mess, I think, yeah, to take a bunch of pre-registration stuff, give it to them, and then they would have to enter it into their system.
Well,
I just don't see how that would work.
That's the first part. First, you have to run a pre-festival registration system. Then you have to pick that all up, package it, and the week before the festival, you have to create hundreds of credential packets so that once people show up, you can hand them an envelope with here's all your stuff.
Yeah.
Then you have to transport all that stuff to the festival site. Then you have to run a registration and operations desk at the festival that uses all of that stuff, plus can sell all of those same things on site. So it's a freakishly complicated operation.
Mm-hmm. I see your point. Does anyone else have any input on this specific aspect of this issue? Okay.
I think mainly just clarifying it as soon as possible and figuring out when she's planning to start pre-registration and stuff and just outlining that. You know, Mike stepped up for this last year, but that was, he was part of the festival team, and essentially she needs to find that's one of her kind of requirements, is to find a person in charge of registration.
Somebody
on site makes sense.
Yeah, I volunteered to be Cody's pre-fest registrar, an on-site registrar, an on-site operations guy, on the condition that I chose and administered the system that we used. I would think whoever's going to do it for next year would want the same freedom and authority to be able to I'm not sure that they know what is involved. That's the biggest concern I have.
That's where I feel like some kind of communication with them from your end would be helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really think
TurboFest is, I don't even know, do you pre-register to go to TurboFest? I don't think you do. You just show up, right?
No,
you pre-register. They have a pretty good setup. I mean, I think they have experience doing festivals, maybe not to the magnitude of IJ. But they have a team.
700 people once.
So
yeah.
they're
festive.
And they've accommodated everybody, too. So, I mean, I feel like they'll be on it as long as we mention it to them.
Right. And let them know that that's kind of her requirement.
I'll write to Vero and tell her that I'd be happy to be on a Skype chat with her to tell her what's involved and give her any advice she'd be interested in hearing. But as I say, I'm taking the year off. I've just had much going on, and I'm going to take a break, especially for this bilingual cross-border festival.
Yeah, I think your brain's going to start to get into the AMS thing, and that's going to be a lot
of right.
work.
Yeah, you're doing plenty there, too.
That's right.
Yeah, so I guess just clarifying with her, because it sounds like she thinks that it's on our court to do it, and I think just clarifying that that's going to the responsibility of the festival director to figure out the registration system, and that always is the case.
I did talk to her about that, but the more and more that I hear this feedback, the more I'm in agreement that that's actually the proper way to proceed. Mike, do you want me to message her and CC you, or do you want to contact her directly?
Go ahead. That'd be fine, Nathan. I'm happy to talk to her anytime. We've been on Skype many times before.
Okay. I'll write to her and I'll CC you, and you guys can coordinate that, and then I can clarify anything further.
If they have done pre-registration, then I'm guessing she does have, people who know what kind of programs they've used in the past.
Right.
Hopefully they can use something that's been familiar to them in the past, ideally.
Yeah. She did say that any registration deadlines she's pretty flexible with and that we could present those. So, I mean, that's kind of...
Again, I think that should be her thing. I mean, essentially, Cody chose when registration was going to start. And,
yep.
That's a festival director thing, is choosing when registration starts, how it's going to roll out, promotion,
yep.
all that stuff.
That's right.
You could maybe give her a sort of a best practices or this has worked in the past, but yeah,
of course.
It is kind of up to her because she has the feel for it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. I will clarify that further as well. Any further discussions on this topic? All right. Sounds good. Moving on. We are done with reports and moving on to motions for consideration. We have one motion. That is a motion to approve Aaron Stevens as the 2015 World Juggling Day Coordinator. Would somebody like to make this motion?
This is Noel. I will make the motion.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I will make the motion. This is Noel.
This is third. I will second.
All right. I'll take it. So I believe that was Noel making the motion and Jared seconding. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any discussion on this?
Are you making a new t-shirt?
Yeah.
That's it.
My plan was to work with the people who made the cool Gabo Art Circus from Mexico to do the design.
Great.
And I also already have a video editor. Woot.
Nice. I guess really the only point of clarification I would like to make is that this is this specific motion is to approve Aaron Stevens for this board position. It's taking in consideration but not voting for the budget for this project. That was
correct. I just included that. Yeah, basically every year since I've been on the board,
yeah.
There was a budget of $750 allotted for T-shirt design, T-shirt printing, all that stuff. Generally, we made that amount back. So just that would be my hope, is that we can approve that again, but that will be with the 2015 budget discussion,
yep.
Obviously.
And Aaron, is that something you can kind of present to us at a time when you feel voting would be
It was never presented before. It was just added in as part of the annual budget, which the chair usually makes. So it was just something the first year I organized it that all of a sudden I looked at the budget. I was like, oh, $750 is allotted to World Living Day. Sweet. So I think it's just part of the annual budget development.
Okay. That makes sense. If it's longstanding as part of the budget, then I see no. I mean, I'm in agreement. There's no necessity for voting. Okay. Any more discussion on this motion? Okay. That being the case, we move to a vote. Does anybody oppose this motion? Are there any abstentions? Motion passes unanimously. Glad to have you on board, Stevens.
Hey, thanks, sir.
Excellent. Cool. Okay, moving on to Varia. We have two items to talk about. The first one is kind of an overview of our rebrand and strategy, as well as addressing some of the recent opposition that has kind of come our way. Most of you probably saw my my forum post, as well as my email that I sent out regarding a letter I received.
Yeah.
I just kind of wanted to hear everyone's thoughts on that.
I've also received a letter, and so has Kyle. Let's put it out there.
Yeah, one was mailed to me. I'm having it shipped over, but yeah, I assume it's the exact same letter.
Okay. I guess given that case, it was sent out to all of the board members, which I guess makes sense. So basically the main criticism they had was they really do not feel that the logo should be altered in any way and that we have no authoritative power or reason to take that action.
Right. Like, on one hand, I get it. Like, I get that feeling. Like, I understand where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, it's that things evolve and change, and part of the life cycle of something is it's not going to look the same forever. It's like IBM has been around a long time. Their logo isn't exactly the same, but it's similar. And Coca-Cola, that same sort of thing. It still feels like Coca-Cola, but it's not exactly the first Coca-Cola logo they ever made.
Right.
I'm wondering if they have an IJA logo tattoo or...
Yeah, and I know all the people involved in the conversation are, like, there's lots of old presidents, you know. Pretty much most of the names on there have been presidents of the IJA in the past, and they've been devout fans of the IJA and devout supporters, and I think that's a, you know, it's definitely a point that is expected to come up. I expected to come up, especially from folks who are of the older generation and really, you know, care about the historic element of the IJA. I think the way we can present it is, you know, it has nothing to do with dissing, quote unquote, dissing the history of the IJA, but rather preserving the future and promoting the future. But yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if the International Brotherhood of Magicians, because I read that article, that was a good article about the formation of it and how it came about that day, those over those couple of days. I wonder if their logo has changed from then till now.
This is Noel here. I think that there is a potential that there is, like, some level of listening to both sides. Mm-hmm. There is a need to rebrand the IJA as maybe something a little bit different as it's become over the past 5 to 6 years, like changing significantly, and particularly in like internet web presence, a new website, different kinds of festivals and different locations that are just a little bit different. And I can see that as valuable, and it's valuable to give the community that exists now, particularly the younger community, like a different identity. I understand that, but I also recognize that, like, the IJA tradition is pretty, like, rich, and, you know, mm-hmm. the amount of time, you know, I don't know what, if it was the first time the IJA started or when the logo came about, but I would say that, like, maybe it can be not seen as, like, making a new logo, but revamping the old one, or we can find a way to work with both sides, because when it comes to decision making, actually, we can decide right now to change the logo, technically. But I would say that, like, that's not exactly what I want to do here. I want to, like, embrace the history and also embrace the future at the same time. And I think both sides are going to have to give a little bit. You know, for example, it might look a little bit like the old logo, but at the same time, it won't be the old logo or something like that, where we can work in, like revamp it instead of create a new one. And I feel like that could be a much different thing to do. Like, you know, rebranding a company doesn't mean creating new colors and new everything else. It means upgrading it. So I feel like that could be a different way to perceive it, you know, and even have them be involved in the process, like, or somebody that we want that, you know, different voices involved in the process of the creating. I don't know who wants to take it on, but I'm just saying that maybe that could, we could have their input.
Yeah, there was a comment on the board, somebody talking to us, I forget who said it, about, like, it's not completely necessary. Like, we don't need to rebrand to survive or something. This isn't like a do-or-die sort of thing. But it is like we're trying to do that next phase of what the IJA is and get those different flow arts and other manipulation and, like, grow the idea of what juggling is, because I think the idea of what juggling is has changed a little bit over 60 years, and it's not just clubs and rings anymore. It's all sorts of manipulation and props, and I'm not quite into all those other things. I'm kind of traditionalist in my feelings, but I see how it's growing, so it's like it's pulling me a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Another idea that somebody had presented in various discussions through the years was not – you know, it's like adopting a new logo, but keeping the old one involved, like somewhere on the website, you know, having the history of the IJA section of the website or whatever it is, you know, that does include that old logo. Or at this point, we've stopped putting the logo on any of the T-shirts because it's really not that hip. It doesn't, it's not going to sell too well. So having a logo that we can proudly put on the t-shirts, you know, their idea was, oh, include both logos on the t-shirts somehow or something, or on the tag, put the old logo, or, you know, some way where we have this new logo, but we don't forget the old one. We do, you know, keep it alive somehow, but not necessarily have that be the public-facing thing on our social media and our letterhead or whatever. So that's just another opinion that was presented.
Yeah, I guess who is this logo for in the end? Is it for us, for our badge of honor to be IJA, or is it to attract other people, or is it for, like, grants and businesses who we might be approaching about some things? Like, who gets the new logo? Who is the end recipient? And what? How does that affect what we're doing and stuff? Just something to think about.
Right.
I just feel like I just believe that the new logo can give a new era of jugglers a sense of identity in relation to the IJA. That's one of the main. That's like the only reason that I support the logo. I mean, I like the old logo. I don't really anything. I don't think it's nothing's necessarily wrong with it, but I feel like, especially after being at the board meeting at this IJA, and I don't know what it looked like at others, but clearly, like, the young jugglers don't really aren't as much interested in including themselves into this part of the IJA, and I would really like to try to draw them into that, and give them a sense of ownership of it. And I feel like the branding that we do can really, it seems like kind of distant and esoteric, but it could really make a difference in how much people align themselves with the IJA.
Right. It's weird that it could. It actually could make a difference if we do it right. What is that voice? What is that new way of doing it that's going to capture them?
Mm-hmm. And that's also what I tried to express in my email, is just in traveling, in talking to the younger generations in Latin America and stuff, you know, and asking that question of, how do you view the IJA? And they're like, oh, it's, you know, we love what they're doing online. We love this, we love that. But the overall image is, it's a bit stale. It's a bit old. It could definitely use something fresher and younger that, like, appeals to the young generation. It's, you don't see that logo and think, ah, oh, wow, that's something I want to be a part of, you know, and so that's just something.
No, I have, like, the sticker of that logo on, like, nostalgia props or suitcases or, like, that sort of feel when I see it. Like, oh, yeah. It kind of reminds me of Juggle Magazine and those sorts of days. But it doesn't quite scream future.
Young, hip, yeah, future of the IJ. And it was also something a brand maker, I actually had, we hired a graphic designer to make the Yep logo. And she was like, she compared the IJ and the WJF logo. She's like, WJF, you know, modern, hip, whatever. IJ, 1940s. It totally looks 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't know the history of the IJ. She just said, looking at it, it looks 1940s.
A little idea just to kind of throw it out there is, there's been a lot of really good logo potential ideas that existed on the IJ Festival t-shirts throughout the years. I'm just going to put that out there. And particularly the Winston-Salem one from 2011 or 12, whatever year that was. That was
in
The circle, the club, and the ring, and it was just like, that was awesome. I still rock that shirt, and I think that maybe that can be a place to get started. So, anyway.
Great.
There's been a lot of presenting things on the forums. I just looked at it today. I'm catching back up on the forums, guys. Sorry, I peaced out for a while. Louis's been creating a whole bunch. Noel, that would be cool to look at and see kind of what he's been creating, too.
Oh. Nice.
A lot of great stuff, Louis. I really like a lot of the designs, and the fact that you're presenting different versions of new ones are looking really good.
Yeah, again, I don't mind talking about it and working through it. It might not be to everybody's taste, but if we can start to get our teeth into things and figure out what we don't want, if you even go to a different graphic designer, we can be like, hey, here's kind of some worlds we don't really do, but something like this one or something kind of like this, but with a different, you know.
Right.
Until we have somebody who actually bites at doing it, we got to keep churning on it internally. But nobody's quite sitting on doing
progressing
it.
Progressing forward for our website and everything, because that's happening. And I think I liked what I was reading is, like, you know, having three potential design ideas saying, hey, this is kind of what we've been thinking about. What do you think of these? Or do you think this would represent the IJ well and things like that? I do have a couple graphic designers in mind that I can send things to see if they'd be interested too. I know that's been a big discussion lately, but I haven't had the time to approach them, but I can now if we're still looking for a graphic designer.
A couple things I wanted to mention. First of all, Mike, are you still on the line?
Yes.
Did you get any bites on reaching out to those post forums that you were?
No, I didn't, but I didn't find a whole lot of places. I remember when I did the 2009 festival that there was a freelance website, a website for freelancers where you could post a project description and potential commission and so on, and then people would look at it and submit applications. I can't find any sites like that now. If anybody,
there is one called 99 Designs where you can kind of submit to that, and there's another Elance.
What's the second one?
Elance, E-L-A-N-C-E.
Yeah, Elance doesn't really do that. I looked at Elance, and
they don't quite do that, yeah.
No, it's not for someone to post a job that they want people to propose for, unless I missed something. But I'll look at 99 Design, you said?
I think it's called 99 Designs or something like that, yeah.
Okay, I'll check on that.
There's also $5 logos.
Yeah, and there's like Fiverr.
Pay $5 and get like 10 different logo ideas. Just like, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm willing to pay $5. And Kevin Axel just did it for a company of his, and basically he told them what colors he was looking for, kind of the overall feel he was looking for, and he got like 5 potential options, and then I had them adjust the one he liked the best, and $10 later he had a gorgeous logo. So
right, yeah, yeah. It's
out there.
Totally doable to do it that way.
Nice.
But, yeah, so I mean, you can get super pro things for a decent amount of cost with people that do it professionally, but just for ideas too, that would be a cool thing to try. Is get 10 designs for $5 and
yeah, we've talked about that before. And like, how do we, like, so say we did do a $10 design, or like it's that spec work sort of thing. Like we're just throwing out, like in the graphic artist community, it's like those are seen as kind of like
yeah. You
know, like they're a little easy, you know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, oh,
I'm more into hiring an actual
pro
person who's in the circus world. I definitely agree that's a better way to go.
It's on the edge. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do like the idea of working with somebody who is in the circus or juggling community in some way or another.
Yeah.
That understands the overall feel that we're going for. But
good, good. I don't want to spend too much time on this. This is a very, very extensive subject, but just a few quick things I wanted to throw out there. Aaron, you mentioned the idea of possibly keeping the old logo in addition to the new logo. Tom Wall actually mentioned to me that same thing, and he was very adamant that he personally felt with his background that that was the way to go. And so I just wanted to get everyone's opinion on if we were to adopt a new logo but keep the old logo, how those would coexist, and if that would be a good idea, and just general feelings about that.
Yeah, I did have a couple new ones even today that I just put up there that kind of have a little bit of the old logo, or new idea together.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I like it if it's doable.
Or I think what Nathan's saying is like keeping the old logo separate, but having our new logo that we might have on like social media that we could put on T-shirts, whatever. That's
correct.
Kind of the modern thing, but still holding on to the old logo as like a memorabilia type thing in a way, is like not just fully letting it go and not having its presence anywhere. But you know, obviously it's on a lot of our videos on YouTube, for example, but having like a, so having it somewhere on the website, something, I don't know how that would look exactly, but a history makes sense to me.
We could do a nostalgia-esque T-shirt or something that kind of has that like big, big logo kind of representing the old nostalgia, kind of with the crackled sort of like old-time looking.
And actually we have it was a World Juggling Day T-shirt that Tom Wall designed, and it was actually a T-shirt from the 70s of just the big IJ logo, which is totally like 1970s style or 80s style.
Yeah.
Just kind of right there on your chest and stomach. And I mean, I think we still have some of those for sale on the website.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree. I mean, it's part of our history, and anything we talk about the history of it and the formation of the IJA, I think it should be a part of that.
So it sounds to me like if that was the approach we did do, they would still predominantly be the new logo, and the old one would mainly just be used for nostalgia sake and less so modern promotion and branding. Is that the feeling everyone's kind of presenting?
Yeah. But how upset are those cats going to be who wrote that letter and their followers?
Yeah.
Are we going to jump like 200 people and we're going to go under 1,000 because of that?
I can't answer that.
Yeah.
But the other thing is like, and still having it somewhere on the program or something like that too, like keeping it. Keeping it somewhere where it's a transition to the new logo. But I mean, that logo hasn't been super present. I guess it's the IJ profile picture. But Bill Barr, not on Facebook.
I don't imagine we're going to lose a lot of members over this. I'm really surprised at this reaction. I think that if these people who signed the letter, supposedly signed the letter, we don't really know. If they could talk to any people in the board who were talking about logos, they would have understood what was going on.
Right.
Reason for having a new logo. The people who dropped the membership because the magazine went away, that was a physical benefit they lost. Here they're not losing really anything. So I don't expect a lot of people to drop out. A few people might get mad and drop out, but I don't think, you know, it'll be a major effect.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And I think, you know, we can try to keep those people from dropping out by bringing them into the discussion.
Yes.
Okay, that kind of leads me into my next point. As a way to kind of smooth this over, I haven't read it yet, but Don Lewis said that he wrote kind of an explanatory letter in the latest newsletter draft to kind of explain that, and I was also going to kind of address that in my next message from the chair column, just to kind of flesh out the motivation and explain that we're still very much about preserving the history and the tradition, etc. But the next thing is, do we want to address it further in the terms of soliciting for feedback or allowing people to see some of our prototype logos or anything along those lines? What do you think about that? Like, how involved do we want to try to get people in this outside of the board, I guess?
This is Noel. I feel like if we're concerned, Martin brought up a good point, but if we're concerned about like heat and things from people and changing a logo, you probably want as many people as possible a part of this discussion. I don't know what that would be like. Like, you have like a Facebook thing and there's pictures and you click one that you like, or there's some kind of way that community can be a part of it, and the people, the board, past presidents and board members and everybody can be a part of it. If there's somebody willing to do that, some easy conception of that seems complicated now, but we could, like, actually have social pressure be why we choose a logo, right? And then the IJA, past board members and presidents, can see what people actually think. Maybe people won't like it, and maybe we won't do it, right? So, like,
And it allows that discussion to be open. Like, I like that. You know, we have, like, 5 potential logos that we like, all 5 of them, or 3 or whatever, you know, and put something out there. The thing is, the people that wrote that letter aren't on Facebook. I mean, I think Jody Nelly and Taylor Glenn are on Facebook, but Bill Barr and others are nowhere close to being on Facebook. So, but still, it's like showing the effort that, like, yeah, it's not just us being like, oh, we're changing everything, whether you like it or not. It's like, yeah, we want it to be an open discussion to make sure that other people feel the same way. So putting it out there, like, which one do you think is the best, and how do you feel about the new IJ logo and rebranding and all that, and get feedback, and that makes people feel more connected to it and some personal ownership over it and everything.
Yeah.
And then people have a chance to vocalize. If they are mad about the logo change, then they can vocalize that too.
There's also, I just had this vague idea. Sorry, I keep spouting off here. But maybe the it could be like a reason to vote as an IJ member. I don't know. Like, given that out there, like, creating a reason for our community to actually care about the politics of the IJA by including them in a voting process that's not just the FEST director, or sorry, not FEST director, the board chair, or its members.
Board members.
So I don't know. Maybe that's a way to plug them into the decision-making process more. You know, if we got to a point where it's like we had 3 final options, or keep the old one, and everybody votes on it, that'd be giving people actual power for their voice within the IJA. So,
yeah, I'm sure we could find some sort of web plugin or voting little software, something that we could actually make that, and it would all work. I'm sure we could find a little. It might be a little bit of work to do that, to set that up.
And
I'm sure it's out there.
And what's to stop?
It's not that hard to have photo voting things.
I think that's very easily gamed by people who want to keep the status quo. They would just stuff the ballot box, essentially.
But there are definitely ways that you can just vote for one or whatnot. I know, like, Tom's used various voting things online for the tutorial contest, for example, so he knows different things, but he has it where you can only vote for one or vote for three, or there's different things where you can do settings and you have to use your emails, passwords, whatever.
Exactly, yeah, you might have to get an email key sent, like if you're a member, you get an email sent, and you can only vote once through that email name or something.
I like that idea.
The thing I like about having, like, a top three is if they're all three that we actually like, as opposed to being like, here's a whole bunch, choose one, and then you end up with one that is really quite crappy based on public vote.
We should hone it down to a handful of ones we all feel are about right.
I guess the only issue I see with that is, while it gives people a vote, a voice to vote for a new logo, it doesn't really give the people a voice that are not in favor of having a new logo, period, where they just would dismiss any new design in general, you know what I mean? So
but
I think that's
that one of the voting options, like the fourth option is no logo change or something.
That's always
okay.
An option.
That might be kind of
always an option.
Kind of weird, but
it might be weird.
I mean, the fact that it makes us feel uncomfortable says that it's because other people are going to have a voice. And I feel like that's what really matters here.
Yeah.
I just put that out there. Why it makes us all feel uncomfortable is, we have no idea how this is going to go. And I feel like whoever it's set up, I think that's a good thing for us, because that means people will have to care to be a part of it.
Totally.
So.
We did E-Juggle, the name for E-Juggle. We did that as a vote. And a lot of people didn't like the name E-Juggle and still don't like the name E-Juggle, but that's the one that got the most votes. so we went with it. And so, but it did, it gave people the option. What I did notice is that I was expecting a lot of people to be involved with that voting process, and very few people were. So that's another thing. It's like, maybe people aren't going to, you know, who knows? A lot of people aren't going to give a hoot. But I think putting it out there, then the board can at least say, you know, we made it public. We made it a public decision and asked for feedback and asked for opinions and stuff like that along the way. And it wasn't just the board stepping in and saying, we're doing this.
I think politically, too, with the way our bylaws are written, we could adopt a new logo, but I'm not sure we could rely on members to choose our new logo without the board also approving it via vote. And what in the instance is if the board voted down the logo that was chosen by popular vote? That could be an issue.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
lots of
headaches. The board could vote to have the logo be chosen by the public. That could be the vote for the logo.
There's nothing to stop the board from predetermining that if the winner of the election, you know, unless there's untoward action during illegal action in the voting, the board
right.
could just say whichever one gets the most votes is the new logo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Motion.
Yeah. Okay.
Assuming the board is willing to accept all of the.
And that's where again choosing three that everyone agrees, like, or at least most people agree, are ones that we would actually like to have represent the IJA. Okay, having three awesome logos to choose from would be fabulous.
And those top three, we can involve the past board members in if we wanted to, and they can be a part of that selection process of those top three and the fourth.
Right.
Okay, well, it sounds like we have a decent plan here. I think the next steps is Don's addressing this, and I will also attempt to kind of smooth this over, and we can then maybe after this newsletter kind of hopefully have a better idea of what kind of logos we want, and then we can present the idea and discuss this further of possibly presenting a popular vote system at a later date. Does that sound like a good idea or a feasible action at this point?
Yeah, and I also think keeping setting up some kind of timeline for having those top three, especially considering the website.
I'm very much in favor of having a timeline. Honestly, I'm really impressed with what Louie's doing.
What are you going to say in this e-newsletter? I mean, Don has written something, but what are you actually wanting to say to the members of the IGA?
That's a good question. Basically, I'm really happy to hear of any input, but I was planning on, first of all, reading Don's letter and seeing what his article stated. Then I was just basically going to say, you know, we're not trying to change the organization. We're very much about maintaining the preservation of history and its rich traditions. We're just trying to take it to the new generation, not as a different product, but just modernize it to the current times and kind of discuss some of the history that's presented on this, how this has been a long talked about thing among many people. I've noticed in the letter, I'm not going to say this, but in the letter, I got the impression that they feel that this issue has never been brought up and that this was kind of being spearheaded by one person, which is obviously not
right.
The case. But I kind of wanted to dispel that mentality as well, I think.
And do you want to include some of the sample, you know, logo designs at this point? I think personally that's probably premature, but
I think so too.
No.
Okay. So I mean, they're in the draft e-newsletter because Don thought that might be desired, but obviously that's a, you know. So and the question about voting, are you going to, you know, bringing the members in for a vote at some point? Are you going to talk about that? It's obviously not formally decided on here, but
I don't want to talk about something that's not formally decided upon because I don't want to open that as a forum and then if it doesn't work out, take that away. I think that would be a very bad idea to leave that possibility open. So that's not something I want to address at this juncture.
Okay, good.
Yeah, agreed.
Just saying, yeah, overall that this is a discussion that's going on for a long time. Also, I mean, I don't know, we've never made a formal announcement, have we, about the AMS thing and all that, but just saying that we're moving towards a new web-based system and all that, and as part of that, we're doing a rebranding to modernize the IJ's image, bring it up to the next generation. This includes looking at the option of a new logo, which we're currently looking for graphic designers and all that. But yeah, just basically. And also, Jersey, you know, the IJ has made a lot of changes to be more international, more inclusive of younger generations, things like that. And we feel like this is part of that step is to move the IJ into the future.
Aaron and Nathan, how would you two like to write this bit of this article? And I would keep it separate from the chair's letter, but I want to put your names on it or whatever names that you want to put on it. But this would be the previous chair and the current chair making this announcement.
Oh, I like that. That'd be good PR. What do you think, Aaron?
Sure. I'll tag my name on it. On the e-newsletter article are you talking about?
Yes. Obviously, this can go on eJuggle as well. But
we're
talking about the e-newsletter at the moment.
Now, I haven't read the draft yet. Does Don's article go into much detail with this?
Does it what? I haven't actually read it either.
Oh. Well, I think, first of all, I'll read Don's. I guess my only concern would be if I co-wrote this letter and then also mentioned it in my chair letter, then it would have been kind of two articles that kind of address this, co-authored by one person and authored by the same person. Do you think that would be weird?
I don't think too many people.
I think it's fine to include one sentence in the chair's report that says, be sure to read the article by Aaron and me on the next page about the logo.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take a look at Don's, but I think that is also a very good idea. So I think, you know, Aaron and I, we can touch base offline and see if that's something
you
want. And obviously we'll run that by you, Martin, and Don to kind of get feedback on and bounce some ideas around too. So.
Sure. And in fact, one of the things to mention, I think, in this article, in this logo discussion article, is that it's not just the two chairs that are discussing this. It's everybody. It's the whole board.
Absolutely.
Right. And it's not just the board. It's members. Like, I've had discussions with so many members who are like, logo, fine.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And we want to keep getting lots of people involved.
Great. All right, guys. Well, I think this was an incredibly productive discussion. I feel a lot better about a lot of certain issues, and we have a very good plan going forward, at least for the next few months, on how to kind of approach this issue.
Do we, as far as the actual logo itself, it would be good. I don't know, Noelle, like if you're checking the forums at all, or if all the board members and Kyle and stuff are checking forums, or if we should post some of those design options on the email too, so to make sure all board members can give kind of feedback on what Louie's been creating, but getting kind of an idea. And then, like I said, I have some graphic designers I can approach, and we're looking for other graphic designers. Is that where we're at right now as far as moving forward with the logo itself?
During our vision planning meetings, it's been pretty much just Louie and I and occasionally Lucho, and I think that's the plan, is to kind of get a prototype that we like and then decide if we want to further develop it in-house or outsource to a designer. Louie, did
but
you want to...
But again, getting some other opinions, getting like a couple people, you know, Aaron, like, again, I'm not trying to be stuck on this, is like, oh, I designing the logo. We have to do it.
Right.
I have to do it. I'm
right.
Very open. There's a lot of great artists out here in our community, and even
right.
Great artists who are not part of our community. So it just depends on how much, if we want to spend money or how we want to put those feelers out. I don't think we should open up to everybody we know throwing a logo,
right.
Because we've even tried that a little bit and nobody's really responded.
And nobody responded. Yeah, I think it's more directly reaching out to people. That's what I found as far as recruiting anything for the IJ. It's like that direct contact, like how I contacted
yeah.
you, Louie.
Exactly.
That really makes an impact rather than a big
yep.
open call thing.
Yeah.
The people I'm thinking of specifically, they do the graphic design for the Petty Flow Festival that hosts the IRC, and their marketing is just phenomenal. It's beautiful artwork. It's great design work.
Oh, yeah. I love
it. Awesome.
I know what you're. I know the artwork you're talking about. It's always cool.
It's always cool, and they're professional, trained graphic designers, and again, it's a Mexico thing, so we have to figure out the whole, we've had some issues with payments and things like that, but they always were like, if you need design work, let us know. We love working with juggling and circus organizations, so
nice.
That could be an option.
All right.
But,
any final thoughts on this issue? Do you have one final thing you wanted to say, Aaron?
No, I'm good. I'll be quiet.
All right. Okay, this is a great topic we could talk about all night, but I think we got a lot of stuff to go on here, so good news, guys. Moving on to Area B, this is proposed new stage rules. I don't want to spend a lot of time with this because I've talked about this a lot already, but have not gotten quite as much feedback as I'd like. Basically, I received an email from Vivica, as well as Neil Fred, proposing that the rules for the individuals and the stage competitions in general be tweaked. And so they sent these proposed rule changes. Most of them are pretty academic, just minor tweaks in wording and whatnot. However, the final point is they want to make some alterations to the scoring system. And one of the most noteworthy things is they want to try to kind of usher it in so it's more based on traditional juggling as opposed to other forms of manipulation. So it's interesting to read. I agreed with all of their academic rule changes, but the scoring system I had a few criticisms on. I already addressed some of these with Vivica, and she tweaked them a little bit, but it's still a little... I'm unsure I agree with some of them, but I kind of wanted to get feedback from people. I did post these on the board forums as well as send out an email, and I did not receive any feedback. But if we do want to vote on these, I think that they should be voted at by the next board meeting. And if there's feedback, I wanted to present this to Vivica and Neil Fred so they can make any alterations that they feel are agreeable mutually between us before it is presented as a vote. So did everyone get a chance to at least read this?
Nope.
Yep. I'm sorry, was that a yep or a no? It's okay if you didn't. I'm just curious.
I have not myself, but...
Okay, that's fine.
I have.
Now, I did post this on the board forum. I suppose I could open it up to the board plus if there would be more feedback there. I don't know if people don't check the old board the standard board forum anymore, or if they didn't receive the email I sent out, but...
Well, do you only want the board to consider this?
Not necessarily. It was just my intention that this was a board thing to vote on, but I'd be very happy to get feedback outside the board if people had feedback on that.
Well, until we see it, we don't know.
Can you, you should be able to click the link on the agenda right now. I linked it as a doc.
This is Jared. Jack Calvin recently contacted us about changing stuff on this as well. And I think a lot of people have really strong opinions about the championships and how it should be done. I think that there should be changes, but I don't agree with some of these things that are being discussed as, or that they want changed.
Yeah, my understanding was that Jack Kelvin had a lot of ideas to kind of overhaul the way that stage competitions were judged in general, whereas I think this is
just run in general what full format of the competitions would
be. Whereas this is just adjusting the current model more so.
The rules and how they're written. So, yeah, it sounds like anything, yeah, so hula hooping, flare bartending, baton twirling, yo-yoing, et cetera, is not considered juggling.
Yeah,
so,
it's very curious, but ultimately I think what I would like to do is get feedback and questions from people and shoot these over to Vivica to either get clarification or alteration on, and then once they're happy with their stance and we can vote on this. I already had her clarify a few things that I did not feel were explained well enough. And even still, I'm a little uncertain about some of them specifically.
It's an interesting.
I mean, it makes sense to a degree, but I think if you're going to ask a question and have a category called, is this juggling? To me, that's almost a black and white question. And then if you're going to allot points to that, I mean, if someone goes out and they only throw things, are they automatically going to get 10 points regardless of how good it is? Or if they throw things really well, but then do like a flourish or something, are they going to get marked down? It's kind of ambiguous like that, and I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Yeah, I don't like the is this juggling category at all myself. Also, I guess it just looks at the overall thing of, the International Jugglers Association. Juggling means different things to different people, but it's been a question for as long as I know is like, what is juggling exactly in this context?
Exactly.
Does it qualify? And one thing the IJA, at least the board, has been working towards is more inclusivity, and this is very much the opposite of that, in my opinion. It's weird to be like, yeah, we want hula hoopers and we want voice centers and we want this at our festival, but you're not allowed to be in the championships, and that's not considered juggling. Like, that makes no sense to me. The vision of the IJA and the festival itself, like, do we want to appeal to a larger category of props and diverse skill sets, or do we want to be exclusively juggling, which also very much minimalizes our potential market? How does the championships fit into that? So,
yeah, when I first read this stuff, I was kind of in the, those things aren't juggling. I know what juggling is more specifically, but then, now with some of our discussions, I'm like, well, you know what? I don't know all the juggling. There are forms of this art that are beyond me that I just get to watch that I don't experience, but it's kind of it's evolving. Like, what juggling is and what this type of community is growing a little beyond even what I can comprehend some. Like I said, I'm more traditional with give me some balls and clubs and some rings, and that's juggling. But then it's like, well, there's all sorts of other things out there now. There's all sorts of odd props, and you might not bring balls, clubs, or rings on stage at all, but still do a great juggling show.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it to a degree because obviously we don't want, you know, a yo-yo champion coming in and doing a yo-yo routine. But at the same time, I understand that there's a distinction between yo-yos not really being as much of a part as the juggling community as, say, a Diablo, but I can't explain that.
Right, exactly. It's like a taste. You know what the taste is by trying to describe it to somebody.
Exactly.
And I will say, like, looking at the IRCs, we've currently been using the IJ model. The IRCs in Mexico especially are super diverse, like hula hoopers. There's tons of hula hoopers that compete at the IJ. We had devil sticking, you know, we have the awesome unicyclist. Is unicycling, is that juggling? You know, like, how does that factor in? And so I think by just saying it has to be juggling, it is hard because there are yo-yo championships. There are barf flare championships. And so to have a juggling championship and then have a hula hooper win it, does create conflict for people who don't feel that hula hooping is juggling. So I think it's just more looking at the overall vision and direction of the IJA and what it wants to, the target market and all that.
Okay.
I've been hearing Noelle's perspective on this too.
Yeah, so I'm thinking what I'll do is I'll repost this on the Board Plus forum and hopefully get more feedback from people outside the board and hoping that the board members chime in as well. And then I will take this feedback to Vivica and I'll either say she can present it as is or she can make any alterations before we vote on it. And I think that's the course of action I will take. Does that sound reasonable to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I want to say real quick that I do think it would be a good idea if there was, the People's Choice Award, is a great award, and I feel that, almost every single competition, there are people, a lot of the audience, feels that someone is left out, and I feel like there ought to be a People's Choice Award for each of the competitions, because that would be a way of, or at least I think that that's an idea that we could work with, but I can discuss that when you post it online.
Well, I think the thing with the People's Choice Award is it's not necessarily exclusive to any competitions at all. You can vote for literally anybody.
Of course, but what I'm saying is that I think there should be a People's Choice Award for the competitions.
Just
what I'm saying. Yes, a separate award.
Okay.
I hear what you're saying. They actually did that at the Chile IJ regional competition. All of a sudden, they just decided without talking to me, they're like, we're going to award a People's Choice Award, and it was based on who got the best reaction from the audience, but they didn't necessarily get good high scores from the judges or whatnot, but that's an interesting concept.
Yeah, totally interesting. Okay. Is there anything else people would like to add? Okay, good. Moving on, we will set our next meetings. Looking at November. For the planning meeting, I would like to propose either the 4th or the 11th. Does anyone have a preference there?
The 4th is better for me.
The 4th is better for you? Okay. How about we go November 4th for our planning meeting? And does the 18th work for the next board meeting for everybody?
Yes.
Yeah? Excellent. Well, let's go with November 18th for the next official board meeting then. Cool, guys. Moving on to adjournment. Would someone like to make the motion to adjourn? Oh, come on. After all that, no one's going to make the motion to adjourn? Give me a break.
Let's go for another hour.
All right. Thanks, Jared. All right. We don't need any discussion. Does anyone oppose adjournment? Anyone left to abstain? Very well. The board meeting is officially adjourned at 8:16 Eastern Time.
Thank you.
Great work, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Lo siento por el meeting.
why don't you show me the photo?